This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor with Professor Evan Ellis of the U.S. Army War College Strategic Studies Institute. He's a Latin American research professor. And we turn to one of the two big elections in this calendar year, Colombia, a longtime important ally of the United States, as the linchpin of U.S. policy in Latin America, as a friend of democracy and transparency. I read the headline from the Buenos Aires Times. Colombian presidential hopeful Gustavo Petro signs oath against expropriation. Gustavo Petro, reads the subhead, who leads in opinion polls ahead of Colombia's elections next month, signs no oath not to expropriate property if he becomes next president. Professor, Gustavo Petro has been described, not by me, but by Reuters, your reporting, as an ex-Marxist guerrilla. He's a member of the legislature. He's a politician. But still, there are reasons to doubt everything about his background because he was at one time part of a lawlessness that is not yet tamed in Colombia, in Venezuela, in the whole region. It has a number of acronyms, but in any event, it's lawlessness. It's gangsters, outlaws. However, now he's making an odd promise that he won't expropriate property. What does this mean? Why does he think he needs to do it to win the presidency?
It's important to understand the accumulated and complex frustrations of the Colombian people that are shaping this election. On one hand, you have a certain level of fatigue with the economic difficulties and corruption and other things, a certain amount of frustration with performance of the Duque government. Young people, millennials, if you will, and oftentimes you have very sophisticated, educated people within Colombia desiring something that is new and different. On the other hand, and because Colombia has long fought over 60 years a war against leftist guerrillas, the FARC, the ELN, and the others. Gustavo Petro himself was part of the former M19 guerrilla movement. The Colombians have a real fear of what could happen if certain leftists, especially potentially anti-democratic leftist elements, came in. And so on one hand, Petro, with his talk about a economy that gets Colombia away from reliance on carbon, because Colombia produces a lot of coal, Colombia exports oil. It kind of captures the imagination of the youth, the millennials, if you will, who want something new and different. On the other hand, you have the right, who look at his M19 credentials and are fearful that Petro would become another Hugo Chavez or another Nicolas Maduro, or take Colombia in that very fearful direction. And so there's a discourse of fear and threat of what Petro would do, probably a lot of it legitimate. There was an interesting YouTube video in which Petro was talking about some of his revolutionary credentials, presumably after he'd had a little bit too much alcohol. And unfortunately, these days, those type of things can be disseminated across social media. And so Petro's statement really reflected him trying to reassure centrist Colombians that he was not the radical person who would destroy the private sector. Now, two things important to recognize. Number one, it was not a legally binding commitment. It was just him saying that we'd do this. Certainly wouldn't be the first time that a politician promised something to win votes and later didn't do it. Number two, even if Petro does not formally expropriate the private property of Colombians, that doesn't mean that the policies that he would propose, eliminating Colombia's main export industries, would not actually destroy the Colombian economy, precipitating a crisis and leading to something even worse than expropriation. We also have to remember that even leaders such as Hugo Chavez in Venezuela moved very slowly in 2002, 2003 as they consolidated power. And so the fact that Petro, and we have to remember that even people like Lula da Silva in Brazil, when he first came in 2003, there are many people that saw him as a radical. And so Lula had to be very careful to present himself as a moderate and fiscal moderation in order to rule. And so Petro faces many of those same constraints. He's fighting against the fears that many have of what a Petro government could apply, especially those on the right who see in Petro, repentant M19, former guerrilla who would threaten Colombia's basic social system.
I see in the polling, Gustavo Petro is in the lead, yes, but the polling shows, because this is a two-round vote and the top two winners will face off, the mayor of Medellin, Federico Gutierrez, is polling very well, a civil engineer. And you have mentioned in the past, I recall this, Professor, that you're not convinced that Petro is going to run away with this vote? Is the expropriation promise an indication that Petro is not as confident as he was when the year started?
John, one of the things in across Latin America is that these two-round electoral systems are very common, where you may have five or six or seven or even more candidates. And the question is then, you know, who makes the second cut? And then everyone who supported the other candidates, who do they go with? And so one of the big questions right now in Colombia, you have essentially eight, you know, candidates. You have, of course, a Petro, who is the most popular of all of them. And indeed, many others are rallying behind the top two now, as that race becomes clear. Petro, and then, of course, representing the right and the center right, Fico Gutierrez. So Petro right now is getting about 43%, according to one poll. Gutierrez in the first round would get about 40%. You have the more centrist former head of Antioquia, Sergio Fajardo, who is seen as a little bit more centrist with his Hope Coalition. You have an independent, Rodolfo Hernandez, who's about 10% in polls, former mayor of Bucaramanga, doing a very sophisticated social media, almost kind of a naive Bukele, if you will, although much older, and Ingrid Betancourt, a French Colombian, very very famous kind of within kind of elite media circles, and formerly a second captive by the FARC. So the question then becomes: it's very likely, according to the polls, that in the second round it goes between Petro and Gutierrez. And then so the question is: are the centrists supporting Fajardo? Do they go to Gutierrez more than they go to Petro? All of those on the right who supported Hernandez and do they go to more to Gutierrez? And so some of the polls would suggest that it's very possible that even if Petro comes in on top in the first round, right, that the other voters would largely go disproportionately more to Gutierrez. And at the end of the day, that embedded fear of not having a leftist candidate such as Petro would still put Gutierrez over the top.
Professor,
on fear.
We will continue. Professor Evan Ellis of the U.S. Army War College. I'm John Bash.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor,